Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatra Dharma Sutto Raja. Kada Parnir Kakodara Krishna Sri Kandivam Chapam Sudit Krishna Stato Vipa. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses? In the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas, purport. As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was the symbol of religion, and above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. And yet there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, what the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhasha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're studying Bhishma Dev, following Krishna. Let me see if I can get my bearings here and just put this in the proper context. It's at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Krishna's leaving, and we're seeing the relationships between Krishna and the devotees. And we're also brought in that vision. It's kind of like the Bhagavatam brings us into different historical times, and we get to see all the people within those particular times. And we see Yudhisthira, who's now been enthroned as the king, and because he's such a saintly person, he feels despondency. And so many bad things happened, including so many of his relatives died almost at his own hands because they were on the other side in the fratricidal war. And he feels very, very despondent. Somehow or other, by destiny, Krishna wanting to glorify his devotee, which is just a nice theme, a nice thought that as says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is responsive. So he's thinking. In fact, I read in one verse yesterday that there was a term for Krishna. We were discussing it in the morning when the Pachetas were glorifying Krishna. That Krishna is using his brains. That one who uses his brains to benedict his devotees. So this whole concept of the universe being Krishna, the universe being responsive, it's actually God is manifesting his time here, it said. And it's moving to benedict us, but not according to our objectives, just like a parent will benedict a child, but it doesn't mean they'll give the child what the child desires, because the child doesn't know what's good for them. And we also don't know what's good for us. What do we think is good for us? When we control and enjoy the world, when we become God. But that won't be good for us, because we can only have that. One second. We can only have that in illusion. And dreams do not last. So God wants to benedict us, but he's looking at what will elevate our soul, what will make us realize our soul. And to help us realize the soul, he may take away things. He may give us things. Sometimes I think God just wants to open up a space in our mind so he can touch our soul, and we're so resistant. And the whole show of the material world, it's just God's mercy to help position ourselves so we're a little bit vulnerable, we're a little bit suggestive to the position of servant, to the position of authority of God, so that we can actually feel that in our hearts and see how wonderful it is to be just a servant. How wonderful it is to be dasa, 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 anudasa. How wonderful that is. So, it's sometimes really puzzling because the world is very, very heavy, and it's to try to reconcile that with God's love sometimes becomes a challenge. It's such a futile endeavor to be the enjoyer and controller. Oh, we spend so much energy on it. What a futile endeavor, because we're not the controller. So every moment we're in anxiety, every moment we're disappointed. And if we get a moment of relief, then we're fearful of the next moment. It's such a futile endeavor. And the worst thing is if we actually succeeded at it. If we actually became the enjoyer and controller, so to speak, or at least a facsimile of one, where, you know, where we did get what we wanted, so to speak. But what we want is not what we really need. The only thing that will satisfy us is the existential energy of God, his loving potency. That is the only pleasure. And you only get that when you want that. It's love. So you only get that when you want to serve. Otherwise, anything else you get is just, basically, it's just a mental conception. We see material pleasure that we're hankering for it, and that's the fantasy is better than the real thing. So this chapter is explaining, Bhishma Dev is explaining, that God is absolute, and he's moving for our benefit. And if we understand that, and we respond in the right way, then we'll look at every situation beyond duality and beyond fear. We'll see it as God. And it must be God, and that's what the point here is, that the influence of time is so powerful that because it's coming from God, it can't be counteracted by anything. As Prabhupada quote the English king, time and tide wait for no man. Time and tide, though, you know, the king stopped the tide, doesn't time. You can't stop that either. And we have to surrender to that. And we have to surrender to the contentment that comes in the heart, which service, which is available at every time, but we get conditioned to other types of happiness. If we don't have it, we want it, and if we have it, we become attached to it. But it's not real happiness. So is any wonder that God sometimes takes things away to move us to free will rather than destiny? When things going our way, we become attached, and we look for happiness in destiny, which will change, which is not in our hands. Free will is within our hands. Free will is within our hands. So there's nothing to be lamented. There's nothing to be lamented. I know it's tough. I know it's tough, but it's being sent by God. Okay. We'll go on to the next verse, 16. Eyasya kaichit rajan kuman veda vaditsitam yad vijagya vijagya sayayukta muyanti kavayo bhi. O king, no one can know the plan of Lord Sri Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Purport. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhisthira over his past sinful acts and the resulting sufferings, etc., is completely neglected by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhisthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, to ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffer temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma, Dave, was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue. And he was glad to see King Yudhisthira on the throne, although he himself fought against it. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battlefield of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue regardless of who executes it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. So no one can understand the inexplicable will of the Lord, even with exhaustive inquiries. Even Kavaya Muyanti, great philosophers are bewildered. No one could understand. And it's too complex, actually, because the plan of the Lord, if we look at it individually, is to bring us to the platform of the soul and to inspire us in the platform of the soul. That's the will of the Lord. So it's very, very difficult because of our attachments we can't hear. So God has to arrange circumstances to teach us lessons. That's what karma is. God has observed our activities, and then he is manifest as kala or time. And in the future, based on the activities that God's seen in the past, he arranges certain circumstances to get the realizations to educate us so we understand our mistakes and we can change our behavior and consciousness. That's God's plan. And sometimes to get the component, to get the realization we want, we need other components of realization. So there's a whole intricate plan, and it's based on our endless entanglement in the world. I marvel. I tell this many times to people that at any stage of my existence, I think I have the truth. And then I see it happen every year. Something happens where I make a mistake, and I get an epiphany, my God. And then I think, then I have it. Now I understand. Then the next year. And right now, I'm thinking I finally got it. I'm convinced. I now see what's right. My vision, my view. But again, I often say, you know, why all the fireworks that God has to give us some message? To make us receptive to his will, which is the water for us as fish, so to speak. Fish is in water. We are a particular thing which can only be satisfied in a particular context. So sometimes I ask people, I can explain this point in a very simple way. Why, look at your partner, look at the friend, look at the parent, look at someone you really want to change. And I tell them, well, why don't you just tell them? And then you'll laugh. Because you know that the thing you want to tell them is fortified by so much ego and so much attachment that they'll never accept it. And while you're laughing at it, understand that the people looking at you feel the same way, including God. So it's so intricate. We do not know. No philosopher can understand exactly what we need next. It's an incredible chess move by God. You know, God's seeing a billion moves ahead. He has an end game. And he's playing against our consciousness. And he knows if he takes one step here, our consciousness will move here. And then he'll take another step here and knows our consciousness will move here. But he has the end game. There is a checkmate. We've been in ignorance forever, but it can end. If the soul is awakened and we become attached to the soul, it can end. So, God, it's so intricate. It's so intricate, we could never, never, never figure it out. Why this particular thing God has done now, and what is the cause of it? Sometimes after it happens, we can reflect back and see in a very general way. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. Tasmaridam daiva tantram yabasya paritarshava tasyanu vihito nata natsapahi prajopabo. Oh, and met monks, the descendants of Bharat Yudhisthira, I maintain, therefore, that all is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you may follow it, must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. Purport, the popular saying is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Similarly, the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotees. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord, because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Whenever, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of teaching of Bhagavad Gita, it is teaching for less intelligent man. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as a benediction. The Pandits were advised by Bhishmadeva to accept the responsibility of administration without hesitation. The poor subjects were without protection due to the Battle of Kurukshetra, and they were waiting the assumption of power by Maharaj Yudhisthira. A pure devotee of the Lord accepts tribulations as favors from the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two. So, we may not know how we arrived at this spot and not understand its mercy, the mercy or justice behind it, but we can understand what we should do now according to the present circumstance. And that's really what Bhishmadeva's instruction is. That Kala, it's inexplicable, it's God. Get over it. Accept it. Surrender to it. It's God. Now that it's come, understand it. That's take the guidance of the Vaishnavas and Sadhus. And once getting that, then respond. And that will be pleasing to God. That's bhakti. You try to please God. Pleasing God means to do what he wants. And what he wants, more than anything else, is for us to get liberated. And he will give us duties to participate in the liberation of others also. So, Vishwadev concludes, it's the plan of the Lord. Accept it and follow it. And ultimately, internally, see it as a benediction. Our pain and difficulty is our own attachments, not anything else. If two people can be in the same external circumstances and feel different ways about it, well, you accept it. And don't make a distinction. God is merciful when he gives things and not merciful when he takes away. What a challenge for our consciousness, how many things we're attached to. I'm talking about myself. And I have to give them up. That's what sannyas is. You're supposed to die while living. The Vedic conception was die when living so that you don't die. Die while living so that you don't die. What does it mean, die while living? Have a plan to give up the false ego and the attachments. And when you do that, then you'll be situated on the spiritual platform. You won't die. I'm joking with people that 65 is the new 50. I still, you know, my nature, I still feel kind of healthy and energetic, and that's, you know, my mother's blessing. But I'm cognizant, you know, how many more years? And I'm going to face what every other single person faces. Everybody's life in the world ends, who has material consciousness, ends in the most incredible tragedy that ever can happen. The worst thing, I lose everything. Bill Gates, I'll lose everything. Everybody's life ends in the biggest tragedy, in the most excruciating torture on the material platform. So, he's telling Bhishma Dev's telling Yudhisthira, get over it. Accept it. He gave him some philosophical background, but now the conclusion is this is what God wants you to do, then do it. And that has to be our vision. That's what pure devotion is. So I'm just reflecting on myself, you know. I so many things I like. I mean, I'm happy to go to Columbia for that retreat. I'm happy to do this. I like to do this. And now if something changes or something, you know, will I be happy with God's will? I really hope so. Text 918. I had a good strategy for today's class because I do get up early, generally about 1 o'clock. I did take a nap right before the class, so I'm sitting here. I'm up today. That's my new strategy, that before these classes, I just have to make sure I'm not tired.
Eshava Bhagavan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Pumam Mohanam Maya Lokam Gudas Charati Vrishnishu.
Sri Krishna is none other than the inconceivable personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayan, the supreme enjoyer. He is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni, just like one of us, and he's bewildering us with his self-created energy. The Vedic system of acquiring knowledge is the deductive process. The Vedic knowledge is received perfectly by the cyclic succession from authorities. Such knowledge is never dogmatic, as ill-conceived by less intelligent persons. The mother is the authority to verify the identity of the father. She is the authority of such confidential knowledge. Therefore, authority is not dogmatic. It's not dogmatic. There just is authority that has knowledge. Prabhupada doesn't say that's not dogmatic. Let me just see if I have within my second. Okay, I got the dictionary right here. Well, in one sense it is, but Prabhupada takes the word as as a bad thing, but the literal definition, inclined to lay down principles as incontrovertibly true. So I guess what Prabhupada's saying is this is not whimsical. This first is really, it's not dogmatic when you go to a doctor and he tells you what's wrong with you. You know, he's the authority. In the Bhagavad Gita, this truth is confirmed in the second verse of the fourth chapter, and the perfect system of knowing is to receive it from authority. That's evam parampara prapto imam rajarshyo vidhu. It comes in parampara. The very same system is accepted universally as truth, but only the false arguer speaks against it. For example, modern spacecraft fly in the sky, and when scientists say they travel to the other side of the moon, men believe these stories blindly because they've accepted the modern science's authorities. The authorities speak, and the people in general believe them. True. So people say, no, we're not dogmatic. We don't accept inconclusive truth. I don't know. The moon, I accept it on authority. I don't verify it. I can't verify it. The people accept it. The authorities speak and the people in general believe them. But in the case of Vedic truths, they've been taught not to believe them. Even if they accept them, they give a different interpretation. Each and every man wants a direct perception of Vedic knowledge, but foolishly they deny it. This means that the misguided man can believe one authority, the scientists, while reject the authority of the Vedas. The result is that people have been degenerated. So this argument is made by Prabhupada that scientists, why do you believe something? I believe there's DNA, I believe there's atoms, I believe this, I believe that. So many things I believe. That there's a pancreas. There's so many things I believe on authority, because people who are qualified independently ascertain that it was true, and therefore the common man accepts. Prabhupada's saying that's no different from Vedic knowledge. People who are qualified through a particular practice, process, and education ascertain a truth. And what's the difference? Here is an authority speaking about Sri Krishna as the original personality of God in the first Narayan. And even such an impersonalist as Acharya Shankaracharya has said in the beginning of his commentation on the Bhagavad Gita that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is beyond the creation. Narayana Puro Vyakat. Andam vyaktas sambhavam andasyantas tuve loke
Sapta Dvipa Chamedini. The universe is one of the material creations, but Narayan is transcendental to such material paraphernalia. Bhishma Deva is one of the 12 Mahajans who knows the principles of transcendental knowledge. His confirmation of Lord Sri Krishna being the original personality of Godhead is also corroborated by the impersonal Shankara. All other acharyas have also confirmed this statement, and thus there is no chance of not accepting Lord Sri Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Bhishma says that he is the first Narayan. This is confirmed, the Krishna. This is confirmed by Brahmaji in the Bhagavatam 10.14.14. Krishna is the first Narayan. In the spiritual world, by Vaikunthas, there are unlimited numbers of Narayans who are all the same personality of Godhead and considered to be the plenary expansions of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The first form of the Lord, Sri Krishna, first expands himself as the form of Baladev. And Baladev expands in so many other forms, such as Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, Narayana, Purusha, Rama, and Nrsimha. All these expansions are one and the same Vishnu Tattva. And Sri Krishna is the original source of all plenary expansions. He is therefore the direct personality of Godhead. He is the creator of the material world, and he is the predominating deity known as Narayan and all the Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, his movements amongst human beings are another sort of bewilderment. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita that foolish persons consider him to be one of the human beings without knowing the intricacies of his movements. The bewildering regarding Sri Krishna is due to the action, because it says he's also a source of bewilderment. The bewilderment regarding Sri Krishna is due to action of his twofold internal and external energies upon the third one called marginal energy. The living entities are expansions of his marginal energy. Thus, they are sometimes bewildered by the internal energy and sometimes by the external energy. By internal energetic bewilderment, Sri Krishna expands himself into unlimited numbers of Narayans and exchanges or accepts transcendental loving service from living entities in the transcendental world. And by his external energetic expansions, he incarnates himself in the material world amongst the men, animals, or demigods to reestablish his forgotten relation with the great living entities and different species of life. Great authorities like Bhishma Deva, however, escape his bewilderment by the mercy of the Lord. So he explains very practically how to respond to the difficulties of the world, and then declares the summum bonum, absolute truth, as Sri Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. So, so here he's just presenting Krishna's position on his authority, and he's one of the Mahajan. He is an authority. So he's presenting. And the authority says that basically Ajo Narayana Puman, that Narayana Krishna is the first. And he is Mohanan Mayam look, and he's bewildering everybody in the world. And he moves inconceivably. We don't see how that is true. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Are there any questions? Okay.
Would anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail. See you soon.
Gail, hi, hello. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Wow. Gail, that's amazing. The one day that in a relaxed mode, I said, are there any questions?
Yeah, there is a question, Maharaj.
What's that?
Hare Krishna, this is Chaitanya Priya. I do have a question.
Okay, what is it?
You said that according to the instruction, can you hear me, Maharaj?
Somebody else is talking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like chanting or praying or something. Yeah, someone's chanting in the back. Okay, I will try to see if you can hear me. Yes, instruction of Bhishma Dev about just relax and accept that benedictions that are favorable or even appear to be unfavorable are the will of Krishna. So in the process of or inability to accept it, wherever we are in our realization and we are resisting it because of our attachment, Do you have any suggestion or instruction how to let go of what to do in spite of the attachment so that sooner or later we will come to that realization that this is Krishna's will, go with it?
Well, the only two things we can do is hear the Shastra and apply the Shastra in our lives and get realization of that. Get realization that God is actually benedicting us by dealing with the circumstances we have now according to Dharma, according to guidance, and getting the fruits of realization of it. That's the only way. The process is really specifically what we're doing now. You just hear the Bhagavatam and hear the message and apply it in our life. And by doing that enough times, we eventually get to see it.
I'm very grateful for this class this morning because it feels like you're calling me out in a place that I am stuck and trying to figure it out myself. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deepa. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Wow, so great to hear you guys. Can't wait to see you again in New York. Don't delay.
Wonderful class.
Thank you. Thank you. Haribo. Anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello today? Okay. Well, then we'll end for today.